Good morning, everyone. Well, I've got my tissue with me. Spring is here, so it's hay fever. So I hope I don't need to use it, but pardon me if I do. Now, today, I'd like to look at 1 Chronicles 16 with you all to look at the topic of music worship. So let us open our Bibles and turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 16. I'd like to read together from verse 1 to 36. Okay, so, well, I should say we turn on our apps as well. Okay, so, oh, we've got it here. Oh, excellent. Thank you. Okay, so let's read together then. And they brought in the Ark of God and set it inside the tent that David had pitched for it. And they offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before God. And when David had finished offering the burnt offerings and the peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord and distributed to all Israel, both men and women, to each a loaf of bread, a portion of meat, and a cake of raisins. Then he appointed some of the Levites as ministers before the Ark of the Lord, to invoke, to thank, and to praise the Lord, the God of Israel. Asaph was the chief, and second to him was Zechariah, Jeiel, Jeremoth, Jehiel, Mattithiah, Eli, Benaiah, Obed-Edom, and Jeiel, who were to play harps and lyres. Asaph was to sound the cymbals, and Benaiah and Jehaziel, and priests were to blow trumpets and regularly before the Ark of the Covenant of God. Then on that day, David first appointed that offering be sung to the Lord by Asaph and his brothers. O give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him, sing praises to him, tell of all his wondrous works. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His presence continually. Remember the wondrous works that He has done, His miracles and the judgments He uttered. O offspring of Israel, His servant, sons of Jacob, His chosen ones, He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. Remember His covenant forever, the word that he commanded for 1,000 generations, the covenant that he made with Abraham, his sworn promise to Isaac, which he confirmed as a statute to Jacob, as an everlasting covenant to Israel, saying, to you I will give the land of Canaan as your portion for an inheritance, when you were few in number and of little account, and sojourners in it, wandering from nation to nation, from one kingdom to another people. He allowed no one to oppress them. He rebuked kings on their account, saying, touch not my anointed ones, do my prophets no harm. Sing to the Lord all the earth, tell of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among the people. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and he is to be held in awe above all gods. For all the gods of the people are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him, strength and joy are in his place. Ascribe to the Lord, O clans of the people, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength, ascribe to the Lord the glory due to his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Yes, the word is firm. It shall never be moved. Let the heavens be glad. Let the earth rejoice. And let them be among the nations. The Lord reigns. Let the sea roar and all that fills it. Let the field exult and everything in it. Then shall the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth.
Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Say also, save us, O God, our taxation, and gather and deliver us from among the nations, that we may give thanks to your holy name and glory to your praise. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. And all the people say, Amen, and praise the Lord.
Well, someone once said, music is the most beautiful gift from God to human beings. Indeed, music can reach across the language barriers, can express emotions that we cannot find words for, and it touches the innermost part of our heart and our soul. In all cultures, music always plays a role in the traditions. We sing when we're happy, and we sing when we are in sadness. And in Christian traditions, music is also a vital part in our faith. We sing in all occasions of Christian gatherings. We sing during our Sunday worships, of course, and we sing in fellowships, cell groups, prayer meetings, and weddings. Not only do we sing when we meet, we also sing when we are alone during our devotions. So indeed, music plays such an important role in the expressions of our faith. But sometimes, perhaps because we're so familiar with it, we're so used to it, somehow we don't think about why we do it. Sometimes when I go to cell groups, before the Bible study begins, the leader may say, oh, we haven't got everybody here yet. Let's sing a few hymns. Is this what music worship is about? As a way to kill time and wait for people? And when we sing in a worship service, sometimes we might focus on things like whether I like this song or not, and whether the song leaders are doing a good job. And if I'm familiar with the song, then I might sing louder. But if I'm not, then I just listen to others singing. Sometimes, I would say, it's almost like Christian karaoke. But is this what music is about? Is this what music worship is about? In the history of Christianity, hymns and music have always been a significant part of our faith. In the Old Testament, we see in the book of Psalms, 150 Psalms of the Israelites. And in the other books, there are also songs recorded, such as the song of Moses and Miriam in Exodus, after they crossed the Red Sea. I think we're quite familiar with this. The Lord is my strength and my song. And in the New Testament, the Magnificat of Mary in the Gospels, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. And in the 2,000 years history of the church, many hymns have been composed and passed on in the faith community. So why are hymns and music so important? What is the purpose of our singing? I hope we can find some answers in today's passage and help us to rethink about how we should sing in our worship. Therefore, I chose a passage from a book that in the Bible that has a strong emphasis in music, which is the Book of Chronicles. The Book of Chronicles, unfortunately, does not often get much attention from Christians. Maybe because it has a lot of genealogies and lists, we don't find it very interesting in reading. And another possible reason is that because the content of the history it records has a lot of overlap to the other books, historical books in the Bible, such as the book of Samuel and Kings, and it gives us an illusion that Chronicles is merely a repetition, and we do not pay much attention to it. But if this is how we see Chronicles, then I think it's very much of a pity, because in fact, Chronicles has a unique perspective on historical events that are not found in the other books. And for one, it's this emphasis on the tradition of singing and hymns. For the same event, when it's recorded in the book of Samuel and Kings, it might be just a plain narrative. But sometimes, when it's recorded in Chronicles, we find that there are hymns inserted among the narrative and that is not found in the other books. And the passage we read today, 1 Chronicles 16, is one such example. This same passage that recalls the sacrifice of David is also found in 2 Samuel chapter 6. But if you take a close look and compare, you will find that the hymn from verses 4 to 36, this session about David sending the Levites to serve in music ministry, is not found in the other book. And in this passage, we can say that verse 4 is the key verse. It tells us the purpose of music ministry. And from verses 8 to 36 are examples of how to sing in fulfillment of these purposes. Verse 4 in the NIV says, I bring your attention to the NIV because that's the version that many of us use, but the version we actually read about was the ESV. We'll talk about that in a minute. In the NIV, it says, he appointed some of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord, to make petition, to give thanks, and to praise the Lord, the God of Israel. So we find there are three verb phrases in this sentence: to make petition, to give thanks, and to praise. On the surface, these three verb phrases might look a bit similar, but they actually have very distinct meanings, which are exactly the three main purposes of sing and praise worship. Let us look at each of these aspects now. Now the first one, to make petition. In the ESV we just read was invoke, which is actually a better translation. Because to make petition means to make a request, is not a very accurate reflection of the Hebrew. The Hebrew here actually means to cause to remember. So invoke actually is more coherent with the original language. To invoke or to remember the work and the covenant of God is the first purpose of music worship. To remember the work and covenant of God. Here we find in verses 15 to 22, the people of Israel are encouraged to remember the covenant that God has made with them and their ancestors. Verse 15, he remembers his covenant forever, the word he commanded for 1,000 generations, the covenant he made with Abraham, the oath he swore to Isaac. He confirmed it to Jacob as a decree, to Israel as an everlasting covenant. The covenant and salvation of God is the foundation of the relationship between the Israelites and God. And it is the fundamental reason that they need to sing and worship. If there was no such covenant, then no matter how great this God is, how powerful, how loving, how merciful, it has nothing to do with the people of Israel. And there is no reason for them to sing and praise. But because of the love of God, he chose to make a covenant with them, and they become the people of God. And this relationship is the first reason that they need to worship God. And we as Christians today, we also have a relationship with God that is based on his grace of salvation. If we did not have this relationship, then no matter how wonderful this God is, how much power and majesty he has, it has nothing to do with us. But because of his love, we became his people, just like the Israelites. And to remember this covenant is the first purpose of our music worship. We know there are many hymns about salvation. we do not only sing these hymns on Good Friday and Easter, but we do often sing them in order to remember the covenant of God. Perhaps we'll say, why do we need to invoke our memories? We haven't really forgotten about it after all. Yes, as Christians, we will not forget what Jesus has done on the cross. It's not like one day you wake up and you say, oh, what happened on the cross? I can't remember. Well, I don't think that will happen to you. But in the busy schedule of everyday life, sometimes we will put aside the importance of this covenant in our lives. It's like a marriage covenant. When we're married, we of course will not forget this person is your husband or your wife. But when we're so tied up in your work or stressed in all sorts of things, well, the newlywed is still waiting to experience this. But there are of course stress in life. There are of course times that we're busy. We seldom think about what we have promised each other in our marriage vows. We might blame each other, forgetting that we promised to honor and respect each other. We might hurt each other, forgetting that we promised to love and protect each other. If we might do this to our spouse who is visible here on earth every day, how much more may we forget the covenant of God who is not visible to us on earth? So we need to constantly renew our memories of His love, His salvation, and of what He has done for us. To me, listening to hymns is a great way to calm myself down and stay focused. And I like to start my day with hymns. I often turn on the app on my phone after getting up. I'll listen to it when I'm making coffee, when I'm brushing my teeth, when I'm making my bed. And I find it so helpful to begin the day with remembering the love and covenant of God. It helps me to stay focused and put it back to Him. And sometimes the hymns become ingrained in us so much that it becomes part of your soul. There is a certain hymn that we used to sing every week at the end of the service in my mother church in Sydney. And when I went to a conference in Korea in July, and I went to a local church that speaks Korean in the service, but they do have headsets for English translation. And I was very amazed to find that this exact same hymn that we used to sing at the end of the service every week was also sung in this Korean service, and in Korean, of course. And it was very delightful to find this sense of familiarity in the same service that is across the culture. But there is one little difference that I found, that they do not sing it at the end of the service. They sing it at the very beginning of the service. And to be honest, there was an urge. After singing it, I want to stand up and go. So it has become part of me that has connected with this hymn and my spiritual life. And not only does this happen on an individual level, it can also become a collective memory of the people of God as a group. To the Israelites, remembering the word of God does not only mean remembering what God has done on me as an individual, but also includes what God has done in my family and in my nation and in history. So what is important is not whether me as a person have experienced the event, but in the history of tradition that we are common successors of these events. And similarly, today, as we sing songs of praise, we are not merely describing some objective historical facts, but we are confessing our tradition of our faith through these events. Through the hymns, we are connected with other Christians throughout the world
and throughout history. And at the level of fellowship and church, hymns can also become our collective memory. As a community, we will always have some common experiences, some common memories. And hymns help us to bring back these memories together. When I was in uni, I attend youth fellowship every Friday. And in our fellowship, we have a theme song for each year. Sometimes we will use existing hymns that matches with the theme that we want to achieve, the goal we want to achieve for that year. But sometimes our very talented brothers and sisters will write the hymn for ourselves for that year. And every Friday night as we start fellowship, we will sing this particular hymn. And at the end of the year, there will always be a special activity that we will sing together all the theme songs throughout the year. And every time in this special activity, it brought back so many memories. It tells us what has happened in that year and in the years before, and what we have experienced God together as a fellowship group. And even now, when we gather together, sometimes we will sing these hymns and still brings back many beautiful memories. And when songs of praise connect with the life of the community, singing these songs becomes a recollection of memories in the Lord. And the second verb phrase in 1 Chronicles 16:4 is to give thanks. And it is the second purpose of music worship, to give thanks to God. And we see examples in, say, verse 8. Give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, and make known among the nations what he has done. Verse 34. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, his love endures forever. When we remember the grace and goodness of our God, a feeling of thankfulness will naturally come out from our hearts. It's not like we're told to be thankful, or we feel we should be thankful, and then we tell ourselves to do that. But it is a natural response from the bottom of our hearts after we experience the grace of God. So if we say remembering is about the past, then giving thanks is about the present. Giving thanks is a present-day response to what God has done to us in the past. And to be able to give thanks from our heart, I think, is a sign of maturity. When we were young, we're self-centered, and we take things for granted, and we need to be taught to say thank you. It's like when you give a lolly to a 3-year-old, we always find the mum next to the kid, will say, "What do you say?" and prompt him to say thank you. But when we grow up, we understand it's not a must that others do you a favor. And we learn to be thankful to people, even without anyone telling us to do so. That's why we learn to appreciate more and more for our parents when we mature, especially when we ourselves become parents, because we understand more of how much they have given up in raising us up, and we are even more thankful. And similarly, we grow in spiritual maturity as we see more and more the work of God in our lives. And as we see more and more of the evils of this world, we realize how bad it could be for us if we didn't know Jesus. And we become even more thankful for what he has done for us. And so singing hymns is a great way to help us express our thankfulness. Often, we do not know how to put it in words, and the lyrics, beautifully written, are just exactly what we want to say. And the third verb phrase in 1 Chronicles 16:4, to praise. To praise God is to express our admiration of the characters of God, of his mighty power, of his justice,
of His holiness and of His love. In verses 25 to 30, we see praises of God's glory and power. Verse 27, splendor and majesty are before Him. Strength and joy are in His dwelling place. Praise is therefore a confession of faith. When we praise the Lord, what we praise for may not be something that we can see with our eyes. But by faith, we praise Him. And sometimes, we would even praise for what has not happened yet. In verse 31, let the heavens rejoice, let the earth be glad. Let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Let the sea resound, and all that is in it. Let the fields be jubilant, and everything in them. Then the trees of the forest will sing, and they will sing for joy before the Lord, for He comes to judge the earth. So what is being praised about here? It's a picture of the end times, of how the Lord will come and reign and judge the earth. It has not yet been fulfilled when this song was written at the time of David, and it has neither been fulfilled now. But as people of God sing these praises by faith, it is a confession of our hope. And therefore, singing praises is to focus our eyes on the future. Not only remember the past and be thankful at the present, we also sing by faith of what we hope for in the future. And I think this is particularly important for us as Christians today. I remember on the Sunday after the terrorist attack in Paris, we attend church service, and one of the songs chosen was about the righteousness of God. And as we sang, I felt that it was particularly meaningful to us on that day to be reminded that God is just and to trust in Him, although we cannot see it on earth as yet. I think as Christians today, when we face the evils of the world, we praise God for His holiness and remind ourselves that this is the will of God, and it keeps us from being part of the evil. And when we face the indifference of the world today, and we still praise the love of God as an encouragement to ourselves, that His love is the example for us to follow. And when we face the injustice of this world today, and all sorts of disasters, we still praise the Lord for His power and His justice, believing that one day He will return and reign over all the earth. Singing praises in this sense is to help us to face the world and to confess our faith. So what do all this mean to us? How can we apply this in our music ministry and worship? To those of us who lead worship, our responsibility is to assist our brothers and sisters in remembering the covenant and the grace of God, and to encourage them to give thanks and to strengthen their faith through these praises. So when we choose the hymns that we're going to sing, we do not only choose hymns that we like or songs with beautiful melodies. We also seek to keep a balance of all these purposes. And when we practice and prepare, we do not only attend to the keys and expressions, but more importantly, we need to pray for God to work among His people to achieve these purposes, because only the Holy Spirit can guide us in our hearts to achieve these purposes. And as the congregation, our responsibility is to commit ourselves in worship wholeheartedly. We're not the audience, as in concerts, but we are part of the worship. As we sing, we reflect on what God has done in our lives, in ourselves, in our family, in our church community, and in history.
and we give thanks. And when we praise Him, we acknowledge once again, this is what we believe in. And as a community, hymns become the carrier of our collective memories. As we sing as one body of faith, it brings back memories that we have gone through together. There are certain hymns that we might sing in church camps, in baptisms. It all becomes part of the memory as a community. In the Mandarin service, once we had a Thanksgiving prayer meeting at the Chinese New Year. And there were brothers and sisters who gave testimonies. And at the end, there is a song that we sang together about the grace of God. And I remember we were so touched that night in that Thanksgiving prayer meeting. And when we sang the song, it's just like everybody was touched by each other's testimony and by the word of God. And the song was so powerful to wrap it all up in giving thanks to God. And now, no matter where I am, when I hear that song, it brings back memory of that prayer meeting. It brings back memories of what God has done in my brothers and sisters. And I become thankful once again for our lives. And when we sing in these ways, music is not only a song. It is full of remembrance, full of thanks, and full of praise. Let us pray together. Dear Lord, we thank you because you created music. You created music as a media for us to remember your work, to remember your covenant, to remind us of our relationship with you, Lord. And you created music as a media for us to give thanks to you. Lord, very often, we feel that we're so short of words. We don't know how to express our thankfulness. But Lord, you gave us these hymns, these beautiful hymns in church history that we can sing before you to give thanks to you. And Lord, we thank you because you created music as a media to remind us of our hope in you. To praise you even though we might not see with our eyes. Lord, we thank you because this is such a wonderful media that helps us to build our relationship with you. Lord, I pray that as we sing in praise and worship every week, in worships, in church gatherings, and every day in our lives, Lord, I pray that your Spirit work among us, that this music is not only a song, but it becomes a solid connection between us, among us, and with you. We pray all this in Jesus' name.